We'd love to have him on the show.
Send him this customized hairbrush.
Ooh.
From yours truly, with the airball sticker on.
Yeah, airball sticker's coming. Yeah. But I like the idea of the hairbrush. Okay, we got some more news. Brad Stevens and the Celtics are anticipated to continue their aggressive approach and make another move before the trade deadline tomorrow. Do you see that move being? I think that it's overkill.
Another move?
They need to stop making moves, man. Brad, stop it. Like, leave the league someone. Like, oh my goodness.
The only thing I could think of, I don't actually, like, know. Like,
well, but they don't need anything. They got backups at every major position. They got maybe another wing, but they don't need another wing.
Maybe a wing. They have the vlogger, O'Shea Brissett. And he's on he's on a very cheap deal. Have you seen his YouTube channel?
No, I didn't know he had one.
He, O'Shea Brissett, guys, the small forward for the Boston Celtics. Look him up. He is honestly a pretty cool guy. He makes chill vlogs.
Yeah, he's making vlogs.
He gets probably 12, 15 points, maybe 11, 10-ish points per game. I'm sorry, minutes per game. It's not really a big score, but yeah, very interesting content if you guys want a little inside scoop into the NBA. But he'd just be on his lonesome, on his ones, chilling. Then he'll cut to cracking jokes with Jaylen Brown, and then he'll cut to him in a do-rag getting ready for bed. So I don't know. It's interesting.
All right, other trade deadline news. Yeah. Rival executives believe that acquiring Bones Highland would require two second-round picks.
Oh.
Do you make that trade? Who needs Bones Highland right now?
Honestly, I'm a big fan of Bones.
Me too. I like the way he plays.
He's in that group, I think. I rate him highly. In that group with Maxey, Quickly, and that type of potential. Just because he is a 6'2 guard with dreadlocks, and they all kind of have the same athleticism. They can go for a while, lay up three, they got it. But I think he needs to go to a team it's easy to say the Pistons, but a team where he could actually get minutes. He's not gonna get minutes in the Clippers.
He needs minutes and shots.
Exactly.
I agree with what you're saying. There's something
about his timeline.
He's still a young player. He's one of those guys where it's you can see the hooping ability. I don't know if an ability. I think Maxey is a more developed player than those other guys.
Definitely.
He's actually developed. He's his own guy now. But in terms of the way he plays, I can see what you're saying. There's just a hooperness to him.
He's a shot creator.
Shot creators who just have it feels like when you're watching them, it's this dude was playing basketball in the womb and has just such a feel for the game.
I think he could be a Malik Monk type piece.
Yeah, no, Monk, dude, even Monk, I feel is one of those players. Monk might be one of my favorite players.
He's on my fantasy team.
He's such a tough player. No player makes me make stanky faces while I'm watching the game. It's
he'll boom in on you and then talk that talk, for sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to Malik Monk. What a great name, also.
Yeah.
That's also a segment I want to do. We don't do it now, but go into the greatest names of all time in the NBA. Malik Monk definitely up there. Obviously Brian Scalabrine, what a name.
Yeah.
Who else? Oh, I got you. But I think let's do this. I'm gonna give you one more would you rather.
Sure.
And then let's take a little break. Just a reminder. I think we have to say this every beginning. You have to say it every beginning 5 minutes, or the last 5 minutes or the beginning 5 minutes of every show. You have to say the thing, yeah. So
This is Airball, and you're listening on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Airball.
Okay. This one we already talked about. It's a player actually. Wemby. Take Wemby. And give him Marcus Smart's competitiveness and defense. So he's already got defense. He's already bad. But give him that killer instinct of Marcus Smart or Domantas Sabonis with Shaq's strength.
Okay.
Who are you taking?
Let me just walk through each of these players. Wemby with Marcus Smart's intensity. I'm not really like concerned in terms of like his basketball getting better, because obviously he's a great defender and maybe a little bit of perimeter defense sprinkling it in there. But I think like in like giving him Marcus Smart's intensity basically just means he's gonna get into more fights with his like limbs and his just like
with his limbs.
Like if you gave Wemby like an aggressive mindset, like he to me he seems like a very like chill person. Like I could have like a glass of water with Wemby most likely. You know, like I could sit with him on the porch after a long day and talk about like philosophy. Ask him about like Kant or like Descartes or something. I would talk to Wemby like about that. But like if you give him the Marcus Smart like intangibles, like he's gonna be fighting like Draymond on the court. He's gonna be like literally diving at people's feet. He's gonna be getting in people's landing zones. He's about to be like flopping. Imagine Wemby becoming a flopper.
Yeah,
it would be hilarious. I'd be here for that.
Anything for the win.
Anything for the win. But usually when you're the star player, that's not your job. Like some guys maybe like. Who's some star players are willing to like do the dirty work, but usually like you got your enforcer guy that will do that for you.
Yeah,
that's why Smart's never been that guy on a team, and I feel like it would be weird to have your star player like just being like a black Air Force One basically. Like that's like someone is supposed to don those shoes on your team, and your team is better for it. But it's like asking what if you like combined Patrick Beverley and Wembanyama like. Like, he'd just be snarling, like, all the time. Like, I don't know if I want that out of my star player. I'll go with Sabonis.
Sabonis. I honestly think, because the way Sabonis plays right now, Sabonis doesn't really like, put his shoulder down into his play. He'll stay, like, around, like, the three-point, between the three-point and the free throw. He kind of just, like, direct traffic. But if he had Shaq's strength, he could do both. He could... Survey, pass. If the pass isn't on, turn around, bang, bang. Just drill the center into the basket and just yam it.
Yeah.
It'd be unstoppable. Yep.
I got one would you rather for you. Would you rather start a franchise today with Haliburton or Shea as your cornerstone? You got them locked for 5 years. Who do you take?
Haliburton or Shea?
Yeah.
If I'm gonna say, okay, Shea's older, right?
I think by like 2 years. So years. Say like maybe Shea from last year. I mean, it doesn't make a difference. Okay. It's the same player. Shea or Haliburton.
Doesn't make a difference to me. Honestly, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander will take him. Because why? Man has the hardest fits in the league. Every time he's walking up to that game, he is dripped. And we're gonna be the best owner and star player matchup, pregame fit, duo. Of all time. Also, I've actually seen him play live.
Really?
I saw Celtics Thunder last year, and two players stood out. Obviously, Jason Tatum moves faster. He's faster than everyone on the court. Moves faster, stronger. Him and Shea. Shea would literally just, I think five times, just did not pass them. He would just check it in, dribble it up, get a few screens, shoot a midi. It wouldn't go in, but he wouldn't pass it for like, and they would be happy with that shot. That is, I mean, you need a play, you need a guy who you can just go to and just say, take that and win this game.
Yeah.
I think Tyrese could do that, but Shea can just get it on every level.
Yeah. Shea already does that. I do think though, like there is something to be said for like a guy like Tyrese, he's probably already the best guard playmaker in the league. Because you could say Jokic is a better playmaker. I would agree with that. But in terms of just like the guy playing the one, dishing out 14 assists a game, shooting 43% from the three-point line.
Yeah.
Like, and his clutch. Like, when he starts skipping in the clutch, it's over. And he does it like a good amount. Not to say he's more clutch than Shea. It's kind of hard to get into those types of arguments. But like,
I mean, Jokic would just chuck one from behind his head and... it would just swish. Or bank. He opens the bank.
Yeah.
Quite often. Alright, I'm getting a little hungry, so let's take a little break. We'll be back with y'all in a few minutes. Hopefully y'all are enjoying Airball. Please enjoy. In the meantime, you have been listening to, before this, you've been listening to Tom Brown's album, Funkin' for Jamaica. Now you're listening to Greg Karukas's Looking Up. So we'll see y'all soon.
Thank you. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom, and I like a woman who can hold her own. And if you fit that description, baby, come with me. Take my hand. Come with me, baby, to love land. Let me show you how sweet.
My name is Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet. A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe.
Yeah.
And we're back. Oh, shit. These. Sorry. Oh, sorry.
There you go.
All right. Bit of technical difficulties.
This is first time. So.
Yeah. I'm not used to this radio business, but this is Airball, and you're listening to 91.5 WMFO Radio, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. We got a little PSA for you. Today, you brushed your teeth. You skipped the floss. You combed your hair. You went to work. You did all of the things that normally one might do the day before a brutal EF5 tornado. You never know when the day is before. Wait. You never know when the day before is the day before. Damn. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council. Well, speaking of tornadoes, we might as well talk about the thunder. I had to do it. So speaking of tornadoes, we got the thunder in the one seed. And I think it's a beautiful thing that they are in the one seed at the moment. I didn't actually want to talk about thunder. I just wanted to make that joke. But
I mean they're actually not the one seed. The Clippers are the one seed. But they have more wins.
I was just wrong. They almost had the one seed.
They have more wins. There's one more loss.
Yeah.
Someone that says Ox won. Yeah. All right. So before we left, you guys, we were talking about some fun would you rathers, and I got a few more for Jonah here, and for you guys at home. Let us know what your favorite would you rather was, or if you disagree with our takes. We've talked about one of these two already, but this is would you rather Jalen Brunson, or as I like to call him, Jalen Brunson, because he is him. Jalen Brunson with De'Aaron Fox's defense abilities. So they call him Swipa for a reason.
Swipa.
Or De'Aaron Fox with Brunson's footwork abilities. What do you think?
I would take De'Aaron Fox with his footwork. It would just be so disgusting. Like, with the way he moves, like, it would just be like you take his mid-range from, like, a solid weapon to, like, just... Ugh. I don't really want to think about that. That's disgusting.
It would be, I personally believe that Jalen Brunson has has just unbelievable footwork. The man can get wherever he wants to go with the ball, like off the dribble, or he'll pick up his dribble and then bop will skirt you. He'll get you in the air, step forward, floater, swish. He's too good. And he's doing it at, I think he's 6'1 or something. Sure guy.
You know, Jalen Brunson's one of those guys. I just remember back in the day, like, I would watch the Mavs. They had Kleber and Brunson. It's like Luka would go to the bench, KP would go to the bench. This is like maybe 2020. And they just got these two random fools. Me and my friend Bobby would always just make fun of their names, like Brunson and Kleber. They just had these two guys who would play like a pretty mediocre two-man game, Brunson and Kleber. I knew that Brunson was the National Player of the Year. I'm not the biggest college basketball fan, but I knew he was a hooper. But he didn't, like, seem special, you know? And then that playoffs 2 years ago, he just, like, looked dangerous, man. Like, he realized in this moment where it's like, Luka's taken a possession off, and then Jalen Brunson cooks the Clippers, or cooks the Suns, and you're just like, wait, this guy is actually good. And then the Knicks drop him, not even a bag. And low-key, what is in retrospect an underpay for what they get out of him.
Underpay.
Everyone called it an overpay at the time. I didn't really have an opinion on it, to be honest. I didn't really care. I was like, all right, Jalen Brunson got a bag. He played well in the playoffs. That was consequential, man. Now the Knicks are... They've got a franchise player. Like a proper maybe. I mean, do you think Jalen Brunson could be the first option on a championship team? I know he's. I feel like he's almost in between, like between like that top tier guys where there's no question about it, and a tier of players almost like Kyrie, where you just know that like they can't get it done on their own.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'd put Jalen Brunson because I love him as a player. I love like rooting for him, but when push comes to shove, is he a guy? Is he gonna win you a chip?
Yeah, this is the tough question. Honestly, if you look at history, a guy you can really compare to Jalen is AI. And AI obviously never won a chip, but got there, got to the finals, but lost because, I mean, he just overpowered. Who did he lose to? I think it might have been Kobe. I honestly think that Jalen Brunson is certified bucket, but if he's up against a guy who can get a bucket just like he is, but is also 6 inches or like 8 inches taller,
yeah,
it's clips for us.
It's just tough, man. The league is so talented these days, yeah. And it's like we have people to talk about these players, like, and in my opinion, I don't think he's that guy. I think he's close to being it, like as close as he could possibly be, and that's an he's exceeding all the beliefs I had in him before. When push comes down to it, there's probably five to ten guys that I would take over him, like, every day of the week. And that's not a slight on Jalen Brunson. He's an incredible player. But it's just, like, the NBA can be so simple at times where you just look at who your best player is, and it's, like, it really puts a limit on the team's ambitions, unfortunately. Well,
you gotta turn your...
Yeah, my bad on that.
Do not disturb on.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, we can move on. This one is... a little bit. I don't know where you're. I think I do know where you're gonna go with this one. It's kind of actually it's an interesting one. So, would you rather Larry Bird with 21st century footwear? That means he's wearing adequate, like, you know, the midsole ain't going nowhere. It's glued on right. Not like the Converse they were balling him back then. So Larry Bird with 21st century basketball shoes, or Tracy McGrady if he played every end of the fourth quarter like he did in that famous 13 in 33 seconds game.
Well, dude,
I think
that night that Tracy McGrady obliterated the Spurs in the greatest, most improbable comeback I've ever seen.
Insane.
I wasn't like old enough to really remember it happening, but I've seen the clip a million times, and I almost imagine that TMAC game is like a measuring stick of like what's possible at the end of a basketball game. I'm always like with my friends watching a game that appears to be a blowout. I'm like, Well, it's not a 13-point game.
Tracy.
And I'm like, well, what if you got a 4-point play and then they got a turnover and then he hit 2 threes in their face? It sounds crazy, but like I feel like anything can happen. So I'm always watching the end of games. Sometimes the games will surprise you. And I feel like... I mean, that would be, like, possibly the greatest player of all time. A guy that could guarantee you a 13-point switch. Or, give me Dylan Brooks with the Tracy McGrady thing over, like, Wembanyama. I would rather have, like, that. It's like a trump card. Like, you gotta take it. Okay, I wanna say something. Dylan. My grandpa's texting me right now. He says, I'm gonna read this message to the radio verbatim. You came close, Jonah. You came close to defaming James Dolan. He is probably a public figure, but in the future, be careful with the language. You can say there have been stories in the media that he is not popular in New York because of his management of the Knicks. Since the Knicks have done so poorly over the years, there are New Yorkers who have publicly called for him to sell the team. No direct name calling. Pops, I love you, but I'm going to push back against that. If there is one owner in this league that deserves the unfiltered slander of two college kids in Medford, Massachusetts, it's that fool. That's the full extent of the name calling, and I'm sorry I disobeyed you once again, but I just had to say that. I really don't like James Dolan, man. Like,
this is really the Jonah versus James episode right now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think I have a lot of common ground to share with Knicks fans over that. Over, like, all of America. Maybe I would hate the Knicks if James Dolan wasn't the owner, but I can pity you guys just because he is the owner. So, it's unfortunate. I don't want to pity you guys, but it's just the way it is.
Thanks. All right, well, I'm out of would you rathers, but...
Yeah. Well, there's another topic actually posed by my grandpa. This is... Once again, Pops, I love you. You're an old head, so this is, like, the most old head take I've ever heard. Whenever I'm at his house, we watch basketball together. And he always just rants about the defense. The defense. Back in the day when the Knicks were good, back in 1970... Oh, they used to play defense. There was Clyde Frazier. You know, we had Willis Reed. They played real defense.
Willis.
They're great players. Yeah, they did play defense. But I just want to talk about this because I think there's a lot of Pat Ewing. A lot of great decades of NBA defense. But the defense had a specific, had a different timbre to it. It just had a different aesthetic quality than it does today. And it looked better. It looked like defense was dominating the games because the games were sluggish.
Physical,
sluggish games. That was basketball for the last 60, 70 years. Since the peach basket was first put up, that's how basketball has looked. It's been a sluggish game. Three-point line gets introduced. It's only been in the last 10 years that teams have really figured out how to use the three-point line as a strategy. And I understand that changed the game. But at the same time, defense has also adapted. Defense is incredible these days. The rotations, the team defense, and just the amount of switchability and versatility required of each player is on a completely different level than it was 25 years ago. Look at a team like the Celtics. The Celtics are the best team in the league because they play defense. I think
Derrick White leads the league in blocks, I think. Maybe it's Wemby.
Wemby does. He really leads the league in blocks?
I think he does. Maybe I'm lying. Maybe he leads guards and blocks,
I feel like people talking about the league not playing defense, yes, offense has been increasingly advantaged over the last 20 years. A lot of it is rule changes. Things you're allowed to do with the ball now are different than they were 20 years ago.
I mean, the hand checking is the main one.
Hand checking is huge. But I also think that, like, just saying that there's no defense misses a lot of the context and a lot of the nuance of how the game has changed.
Yeah.
But then you get these games where it's like, I remember I went to his house, and this was kind of poetic in a way. We're watching, it was like mid-November, Thanksgiving, watching Halliburton play Trae Young, watching the Hawks and the Pacers. It was possibly the least defensive game I've ever seen, and it allowed the sport strawmanned itself when I was trying to show my grandpa that they played defense.
No.
It just felt horrible.
Those two teams don't play any
defense. They don't play any defense. So it's like not to say that there's teams that you can get away with not playing defense and have a good offensive pace and all that. But when push comes down to it in the playoffs, you're going to get crushed if you don't play defense.
That is why the Knicks are very successful because they force teams out of playing the way they want to play. And I also think the same with the Timberwolves, actually. Timberwolves are a very good defensive team because they also have, I mean, they just have, like, skyscrapers in there. Cat, Rudy, Naz Reid, good defender. What's his name? McDaniels?
Jaden McDaniels.
Good defender.
Incredible switchable perimeter guy.
So, I mean, yeah, you don't have to be, like, an incredible offensive team if you got the defense, but...
Yeah, exactly.
Back in the day... If it was that way, go, like, I mean, the Pistons, like, the Pistons and Bulls rivalry was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those Pistons players deserve to be, like, just in the trash for how they treated them, but it got ugly. I remember watching that doc, the Last Dance, I think it was. Oh, no, it was them. No, it might have been Last Dance, but might have been a 30 for 30 about the Pistons, right?
Yeah, dude, I watched this like little. I don't remember where I learned this, but actually, I know it was off YouTube where I get like a lot of my basketball takes and knowledge. YouTuber Clayton Crowley was talking about Larry Brown's position on the coaching tree. For those who don't know, the NBA has an extensive lineage of coaches. At the NBA level, but also down into college and into high school. And I think that you can make an argument that many coaches that are coaching today are in some way connected to a great coach in NBA history. Just because of the amount of influence that different types of ball knowledge. No, let me explain. Larry Brown coached under, I want to say Dean Smith, who coached under Fog Allen, who was a student of James Naismith. Larry Brown coached Greg Popovich. So basically, there's like this direct, pure lineage of a certain ideal type of basketball
coach.
It's been passed along for 100 years. And everyone that's tied to Pop is alongside that.
I saw that. I've seen that.
It's pretty incredible.
Pop tree is insane.
Yeah. So like the Pistons playing like the most idealistic type of team-oriented defensive basketball, playing the game the right way. That's descended from Naismith in a really like direct and beautiful way. And I find that awesome. Mm. By the way, Naismith was not a good basketball coach, which I find hilarious because like the man invented the sport and then wasn't a successful... Yeah. Like his teams weren't winning teams. So maybe there's a bit of like argument there, but like I just think it's pretty cool.
I want to say, about the Hawks and that Indiana game is really interesting. And we're talking about Detroit too. Detroit and then Indiana and obviously Washington are the four worst defensive teams in the league. And this is crazy. You want to guess how many points they... Okay, Atlanta and Washington have the same. How many points do you think they allow per game on average?
124.
And that is why Jonah is on this podcast, because he is an incredible basketball mind. He got it right on the nose. That is crazy.
It just sounded like, of course, they give up 124 a game. That's just...
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well...
124, Indiana allows 122.5, and so does Detroit, which is a lot of points.
A lot of points.
Per game. I remember watching, like, back in, like, middle school, like, teams would barely go above 100, or, like, if they did. I remember, like, an average scoreline would be, like, 96, 89 or something. Like,
yeah.
That's average. That used to be average, and now that is, like, that's a low, like, that's a brutal... defensive game.
Yeah.
Didn't they drop like a... Didn't one team drop 170? Or am I crazy?
No, that did happen. I mean, last year... Wait, in recent days, I don't know if it happened.
I think this season. Or no, maybe it was 150?
The game I'm thinking about was the Clippers-Kings game, which was about a year ago. That game, to anyone who doesn't think the league plays defense these days, I implore you to watch that game. Because that was like the epitome of like maybe what basketball will look like in 2050, you know? Everyone making every single shot despite the defense. It's like, if push comes to shove, if a guy hits a contested shot over and over and over again, defense is basically irrelevant. But that's just not... When it does happen on both sides of the court, it's pretty special. And that's like... That's what makes the sport incredible, you know? It's not just... Wow. I don't know. That's a rarity, and that's the exception, not the rule.
So, yeah, the game you're talking about is the Kings... 176, Clippers 175, February 2023,
double OT. Yeah. And there's a game from the 80s. I think the record, it was like Pistons.
I was about to say, Pistons and the Nuggets. 186-184. That's crazy. Triple overtime.
How did that even happen in the 80s? That's like...
That's crazy. The three must have just been falling that day, and they just must have been...
I think it was also like a triple overtime game.
Yeah, 3-0-2. Yeah.
It's got to be. If you're scoring into the 180s... Wait, you want to talk about the 100-point record? Because in the recent weeks, we've had Embiid and Luka, and did anyone else score 70? Cat scored 70?
No, that game like 60 or something.
Should have been 80, but we're not... That game, I pity the man. That was the type of game where, like... After they lose in the second round, you're going to look back at that night as where it all soured.
it's
unfortunate. I feel bad for Kat. He was on the verge of tears. Kat wanted to... Ant wanted to punch him. Probably. I wanted to punch him. I felt bad for the man, you know? It was just like...
It wasn't in his hands. Like, he just got subbed out.
He was subbed out because he missed all of his shots and he was chucking to get to 70.
Oh. And then they lost the game.
Then they lost the game, which was just like, man, that's just... And they lost to the Hornets.
Yeah,
it wasn't like they lost to like a good team. They were beating up on the Hornets, and then they started chasing a record. You know, and that's just like, and it's this problem I have with the Timberwolves, where it's like, if Mike Conley,
you gotta press Q by the way.
Oh damn, my bad, bro.
That's okay. Mike Conley? What are you talking about, Mike Conley?
Mike Conley. Here it is. Yeah. Greg Karukas.
Yeah. And then press now.
Yeah.
Greg, shout out Greg.
Yeah, but Mike Conley is like the brain of the Timberwolves. He's the one piece of veteran, real veteran guard experience they got. Yeah. When he's not on the court, they look terrible. Like, and that was the game where they needed him, you know? Like, if they have Mike Conley on the court, they win the game.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't really watch a lot of T-Wolves games, to be honest. But when I do, I mean, it's usually when, like, Ant or Cat had a crazy game.
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, the Timberwolves are a flawed team, I think. And the reason I believe they won't win the chip is because they just have... I think Ant is, like, 2 years too early. And the team is built for him to be 25 years old right now.
Is he?
He's going to take... He's, like, 23, maybe 22. But he's still immature. He's still developing. And he's incredible. And he's their clear franchise player. And he will be in a year or two. I just don't think he's there yet. I just don't think... I just don't think he has, like, the end game experience in the playoffs. If you have the ball in Anthony Edwards' hands, I'm not trusting it.
Wow.
Not that he won't make a shot, but I just... Something about the way he, like, carries himself, just for now. I'd, like, rather have the ball in Mike Conley's hands than him playing off ball, like, consistently. Like, there's times where I want Ant taking that contested shot, but, like, so many times, man, whenever I turn on their games in the clutch, this man is chucking threes. And I'm like, yeah, maybe it goes in, but in the playoffs, you need a better shot than that. I still think he's immature. I think he's going to be there, but he's not there yet.
I think he definitely needs a playoff experience, which I think he's going to get this playoffs. And I think the ball should be in his hands to close a game, or him or Kat.
Yeah.
Mike Conley, that's crazy. I think it has to be Ant. I just think because he can create the shot. And if he doesn't get it, he can pass it off. Or he can pump fake, pivot, throw it off the backboard, yam it like he did. So I don't know. I'm big on Ant. So I'm a little biased, but
I do believe in him. Like, don't come back to us.
I think maybe in 2 years,
But so this is my problem with the right coach, man. They got to pay Cat. This is the year their team is going to be the best. It will be. It's not. Their team will not be better than it is this year. They're going to have to start paying their guys. You know.
Yeah.
They're not going to re-sign Gobert. That's just not going to happen. He's like in his mid-30s now, and. He's getting paid too much. Cat's going to need a bag. And I'm not going to be the one to pay him. Like, I mean, you're going to pay Ant to Supermax. You're going to... Yeah.
I think, like, you pay both of them. You gotta pay them.
I don't know, man.
Cat is so
tough.
Good. Cat, or come to the Knicks, Cat.
I think Cat, like, you have to go deep over the second apron if you want to keep that team together. And it depends. Like, they have ownership changes. And that's why it's such a weird, like, a weird dynamic. Like, is Alex Rodriguez going to want to pay, like, a massive bill? Depends on how good they do in the playoffs this year. I think if they, like, get to the conference finals, if you're inheriting a team that just got to the conference finals and your first move as an owner is to blow it up, you should not be the owner. Like, you can't go into ownership with shallow pockets. You gotta spend. I hate talking about the money, but it all comes back to it. Mm. If the Timberwolves owners cheap out after a second round exit and decide, you know what, we're blowing it up, we're going to bet on Ant and retool, your team's not going to get better. Your team's just going to get worse. And you got to run it back for, like, 2 or 3 years until the cap just makes it completely unreasonable to do so.
So, okay, let's say they keep Cat. So you have Cat, starting lineup, Conley, Ant, Cat, McDaniels. What is your last piece? What piece do you add to the Timberwolves to make them a real chip team?
As of now?
Yeah.
Like,
or like next season?
I think it just requires, like, if you keep their current, like, if you just think starting five and Nasri off the bench, I dare I say that if Ant takes another step, it's a very well constructed team that suits him perfectly. They're big. They're defensively aggressive. But he's just not there yet. He's not there as a player yet. And that was the bet with the Gobert trade. They were betting on Ant taking a step. And I just don't know. The first step came. But now he's got to become, like, a top five player. And, like, an undisputed top five player. And if he doesn't do that, the whole recipe doesn't work.
Yeah.
But if he does, I think they're going to win a chip. Like,
he's so good.
It's so... If the Timberwolves can keep their team together in the medium term, the West will clear. The West is going to clear out very soon. Denver will be a staying around team. The Thunder are going to be good. Kings aren't going to be a threat. The Warriors are going to fall apart. The Lakers are going to fall apart. The Clippers are going to fall apart. All these teams are going to fall apart. The Suns are probably going to fall apart. Like, I don't see a lot of these teams as threats in 5 years. I think they're like right now teams that won't be around. So if the but I think I low-key see the Timberwolves as more in that category of like expensive teams that are going to fall apart than as like the Thunder, who are just well built and cheap and have time. You know, they're in a different place on their rebuild.
I mean, the Thunder gonna have to pay their guys too.
They will, but I also just I think with the way with the cap is going now, the Thunder are just gonna end up like they're just gonna keep drafting well. They have so many picks. They're just gonna draft well, retool, keep guys on their rookie deals, draft older players. Like they have the ability to do that, and they've got their two guys. They got their two max players. Do you go in the cap to keep J-Dub? Does J-Dub take less money? Those are questions they're gonna have to take out. Like, it's tough.
Their team chemistry is insane. I love watching their post game interviews. They just like get mad hype. They like they're barking at each other. They're like they're making faces. Like they're filming TikToks. Like, if honestly, it's a great time to be a Thunder fan. Shout out to Simon, resident Thunder fan here.
He's a Thunder fan.
Yeah, he's a Thunder fan. And I don't know. I've not met another one, so it's a rare sighting. But
is he from Oklahoma, or is he like KD Thunder fan who's stuck with the team?
No, he's from Seattle, but
that makes so much sense. Then you got to be a Thunder fan if you're Seattle.
Bro, apparently Seattle hate the Thunder because they moved.
Yeah, but I can understand the sentiment that you want to stay with the team. Like that,
it's also because his family's from there. He's from Oklahoma.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah,
it's interesting.
Yeah. I think the Thunder, they've just played their cards so nicely, you know, and you don't see that often.
Perfect 2K rebuild.
The table is set for them. And now the question is like, can they win? Maybe they won't, but maybe they will. I think they have 2 years before the clock starts, and they're already ahead of the gate.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Okay. Let's say the Thunder right now, I think they're second. Second place in the NBA. So let's say they get the 7 seed. They get the Suns against the Suns against the Thunder. Who you think comes out of that series?
Suns Thunder.
I honestly think Suns could beat them.
I think so too. Someone's gonna be injured, man. These KD super teams, something about them just.
Beal's gonna be out first game.
Because when they're playing, like.
Nurkic lands on somebody's shoe, turns his ankle.
Nurkic is like. Like, you look at that starting five. They're, like, maybe six people deep. They got Josh Okogie coming off the bench. But who else is going to be on that team? Like, they got their big three. They got Grayson Allen, and they got Nurk.
Nurkic. They got Bol Bol.
Okay, that's it. Okay, I kind of want to talk about that. He's playing now. I know he played last night. He was injured for a few days. I'm not sure what he had. Yeah,
pull it up.
Bol Bol is a real wild card. Because it's, like...
He's good.
You got to imagine that, like... Anyone can become coachable if they're being harassed by Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Like, but then he comes out of the game, 17 minutes, he woke up feeling dangerous. 4 points. 2 for 3 from the field.
Okay.
6 rebounds, 1 assist.
So that's the thing. I mean,
he runs around.
He can't be shooting. He's not a shooter on that team.
It's hard. No, he's not.
He's got to be more of a floor spacer. He's got to get rebounds.
Yep.
He's got to just provide energy.
I have this like this fantasy where the Suns just decide, or Frank Vogel is just like, where Frank Vogel is just like, I'm gonna force you into the game. You're gonna play 40 minutes a night until you can play basketball well. And I know that they're not really in a position at all to do that.
No, probably not.
But
40,
like
40.
I don't know.
Get 40?
That was a crazy take. But I also want it. I want to see it. I just want to see Bol Bol forced into an uncomfortable position. Like, they should offer him a contract, like a massive contract that's completely unguaranteed and is fully incentive-based, and just make him work. Make Bol Bol into a coachable player, man. And
like
then he'll be, like,
for
incredible.
So many contracts before, yeah.
Like, it's pretty wild. Like,
it's interesting.
I'm never going to pay Bol Bol a bag until he proves that he likes the game of basketball and will practice the game of basketball.
Yeah. You know what he does like, though? Them pregame fits.
Are his fits good? Let me take
like,
a look.
Go check out his fits. The Opium Lord right there.
Opium.
Yeah, no, he's got that archive. He's got that. I don't know how he finds him in his size, but he's got it. He's got it on.
This one's ridiculous. I guess I can read this on the radio. I can't read this on the radio.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, at that, we talk about fashion. Why not? We're 10 last 5 minutes.
Yeah, we have the last 5 minutes. Don't forget, this is Airball. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFL, Manfred Tufts, Freeform Radio. I think something's playing out here, but yeah, we can. I honestly think that I mean, it's a great part of the game. I love the pregame fits. I love when people roast Kyle Kuzma for having his like his belly out in a little fitty.
100%.
Or like Russ rocking like a little lace top with some sunnies on. I love it. I was in the NBA, oh my God, I'd be applying that pressure.
You'd have good fits. You already do have good fits, but the thing is, so many players have heinous fits.
Oh my God.
Some don't even try. I think Jordan Clarkson is some of the better ones.
Jordan Clarkson
Shea's fits, I actually wouldn't wear, but I like them. They're good.
Definitely.
But I think a lot of times they're just like a little bit. They kind of feel like he has a stylist, man. I think he definitely does. They all got stylists, and to me, Jordan Clarkson gives me the vibe of someone who just likes clothes and has his own taste.
Clarkson got it on. You know, he's Filipino too.
Yeah,
that's my guy. Who else? I think Jalen Green also be. He also Filipino, but he got it on. I think. Got it on?
Who?
Wemby.
Wemby
be struggling. It's hard because, like, what's his size? Like,
yeah, like, how can he even buy clothing?
Extra long?
He has to have everything custom made, man. And Nike always does it for him. They give him that full tech.
Who else don't got it? Steph don't got it on ever. No. Steph and Clay
on. Not Steph, bro.
They lack it.
LeBron, bro. LeBron secretly has horrible fashion.
Okay, but
you have $1 billion and all the stylists and clothes money can buy, and you can't put on a good fit. It's unfortunate.
I don't think he chooses the fits. That's the thing. I bet it's not him.
He's a billionaire. You're telling me he doesn't command his people to give him a good fit?
I think maybe it's like a deal where it's like, Bron's like, all right, he got kids, like he got family, he's got better things. He's probably like, all right, pick my fit for this game, and then he puts it on. He probably don't care.
He's always wearing some like. The classic LeBron fit is like he's wearing like a full monotone workwear outfit with like an orange beanie, and he's wearing some like $400 sunglasses,
yeah.
And he's wearing like blue Timbs or something corny that clashes with the like.
You gotta emphasize and like the hat, the beanie is like tipped, is like pulled up like it looks like a cone. It's so funny. Yeah, now LeBron got it. Yeah. Bron is just a funny guy. He's one of my favorites just because he's so funny.
He's a character, man.
We could really get into some NBA memes next time. That could be a good idea, actually. Some NBA memes.
Damn.
LeBron for the Lakers. It's LeBron James.
Wait. Before we go, there's been a trade. The Timberwolves have sent Shake Milton, Troy Brown Jr., and 1 second round pick to Detroit for Monty Morris. Monty Morris is kind of tough.
Wait, two players for one player?
Shake Milton and Troy Brown Jr., who were like on their bench, like in 1 second.
Bench warmers.
So they gave a bit.
That's a good piece.
I think that's really good. Like that's like the type of guy where when Conley's out, you got your backup.
Off the bench,
guy now.
Even right?
Yeah, he's not going to start. Conley's going to start.
They also have a Nikhil Alexander Walker, right? He's good.
Yeah.
He's good.
So I guess he'll be fighting for minutes with.
But he's tall. He could play the two.
I just remember Morris, man. Like, when he was on the Nuggets, I, like, enjoyed him.